Real blessing. We've talked about how God is good. And through it all, God's been good. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 5. I have a couple more messages, I think, that God would have me to preach out of this fifth chapter before we close out the book of Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. You know, it's rare that a preacher can stand and say, today's message, and actually it's kind of a, this is going to be the first part of probably a two, maybe a three-part message on a subject that I think is probably one of the most needful subjects today among Christians. Certainly always the most needful Bible subject today is salvation, so that people can know that they need Jesus as their Savior. But as far as a Christian, if you're here today and you're saved, I don't know that you will really hear a more important subject. Now, you'll probably hear better dealing with this subject from someone else besides me. And I'm going to tell you before I get started, I don't know all there is to know about the subject that I'm going to be preaching to you about this morning, but I've done some research, and I've preached about this subject on a number of occasions. The subject is very dear to my life. It's something that God, early in my Christian experience, helped me to understand the importance of. And I pray that every Christian that is here today would understand the importance of sanctification. You know, we hear that word, and it's kind of an intimidating word. A lot of folks say, well, you know, I don't even know what sanctification means, and that's okay. I don't know how long you've been saved, and maybe you say, well, I've been saved for a while, and I'm still not sure. Well, I told you, I've been saved for 40 years, and I'm really not sure all that's involved in that process. And really all that's involved in that subject of sanctification. It's connected in so many ways with what God has done and is doing and even is going to do. There is a part of sanctification, as we shall see here in just a few moments, that, well, we're all sanctified. If you're saved, it is a positional, and we'll get to that in just a moment. In other words, it's a part of being justified. When you got saved, God set you apart. And that's what the word sanctification means. It's a word that means to be holy. It's a word that means to be set apart. In particular, for a Christian, to be set apart from something to something, or to be set apart for a service. And there is a past tense of sanctification. And if you're saved, well, then when you got saved, you got sanctified. Because when you got saved, God set you apart. At that moment, at the moment that you were justified, at the moment that God saved you and He justified you and He justified me, He declares us righteous. And He sets us apart. He said, you know, you're no longer your own. You don't belong to you. I bought you. Now you belong to me. And I'm setting you apart for the supreme purpose of your life. Now, we could interview every person that we come in contact with for years. And if people would be just transparent and honest, they would say, that's what I'm after. And there's many avenues that people will travel. Because they think, at the end of this avenue, I'm going to find the supreme purpose or the supreme happiness that I seek in life. And there's only one path that will lead to that supreme purpose, and that is the paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. God has a path to where I can reach my supreme purpose for being here. God has a path where you can reach your supreme purpose. And we just settle so often.
We've just gotten to the place where we're just glad to be here, you know, and it's like, well, I'm just glad to be here. Well, you know, I just think that's just selling yourself way short. I thank God that I'm here, but that's not enough. I want to know why God put me here. I'm not here by accident, nor are you. Though some are told, well, you know, you were an accident. Maybe with man there are accidents, and there are, but with God there are no accidents. And so if you are here, you're not here by accident. God has a purpose for you being here. And so there is a part of this sanctification that we are set apart for the supreme purpose that God put us here. And that journey begins when we come to Christ in justification. And so sanctification is attached to a past work, which is justification. And if you are saved, you have been sanctified, positionally speaking. That's fixed. It can't change. You can never lose the fact that you've been justified. And so because sanctification is attached to justification, you can never lose the fact that you're fixed, you're sanctified, you've been set apart. You can't get out of that, even if you wanted to. I don't want to. I hope you understand that. Sanctification is a big deal. And then there's a part of this sanctification that is future. It's yet to happen. Now, this part of sanctification is not attached to the past, which is justification. It's attached to the future, which is glorification. See, one day, what a day that'll be, we are going to be permanently, ultimately, officially sanctified once for all. Oh, I hope you can get a hold of that. Never to sin again. Never, never to yield to the desire, the lust of the flesh again. Never. Never. We're going to have a glorified body. Now, there's a third part of sanctification. We'll not get to that part. And that's where we are right now. We're in this progression. We're in this progressive part of what I'd like to call experiential. Not experimental, but experiential. We're experiencing sanctification. We should be growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. We should be sinning less. You say, now wait a minute. No, you wait a minute. Listen to me now. Let me finish. I should be growing closer to God. I should be leaving that old man. Listen, those old ways. I should be leaving those. If you're still doing things that and living the life that you lived when God saved you 10 years ago, I'm telling you, there's something wrong. Amen. So, a preacher, I'm not perfect. Well, we're not talking about perfection here yet. We're going to be because it's part of our future sanctification. Amen. And so, in essence, and I want you to listen to this now, what we as Christians are doing, when I got saved, when you got saved, God sanctified us. He set us apart for His purpose, the ultimate purpose of why we're here. And it's kind of hard. I want you to understand this now. There's no person that's ever come into this life that God did not have the ultimate purpose for. You say, what about these people that don't believe in God? God has an ultimate purpose for them. But in order to get in on that purpose, you have to come to Christ. You get saved, and then God, He not only reveals that purpose, because that is the beginning of that purpose. The beginning of that purpose is to come to Christ and become a new creature, to have your sin forgiven, to have that restoring faith that restores us back to God that's been broken by sin in our life. And so when we get sanctified, it's fixed, that's past. But one day we're going to get sanctified ultimately, because we're going to get a glorified body. And so now I want you to think about this with me, and this one I want to preach to you about. I'm going to preach about those two points. But this is where I'm headed with this, and I just want to let you know where the destination, where I'm trying to carry you, if God will help me, and He has told me He would. As Christians, we're just trying to live up to what we are. We're sanctified. And I want to get a little deeper than that. And it's not really that deep, it's just profound. I'm not only trying and striving with God's help to live up to what I am, I'm trying to live up to what I'm going to be. Because those two are fixed. Those whom He justified, He sanctified. And those, this is Romans 8, and those whom He sanctified, He glorified. When you got saved, you're just, listen, your citizenship's in heaven. You're going to heaven. Amen. Going to be glorified. I sure hope you understand what I'm preaching to you this morning. I think so few people understand what God does in their life when they get saved. They just think, well, you know what? I'm going to heaven. Thank God, yes, you are. But there's something that God wants to achieve in your life, in my life, in our lives as believers, while we're here. And He wants us to understand that that sanctification, we have been set apart, that's fixed when we got saved, when we got justified. The moment God saved you, you started on a path that is fixed. And then there's a future when this life ends, you're going to enter into that ultimate sanctification. And we'll talk about what that involves here in just a moment. We'll not get into all the detail of it, but I do want to whet your appetite a little bit. And then in the studies to come, we're going to talk about the experiential part of sanctification. The reason that we battle, the reason that there's a war going on in our lives, brethren. The reason that there's this struggle between the flesh and the spirit. There's enemies that are trying to keep me from being what I am and what I'm going to become. There's enemies. The flesh, the world, the devil. You understand that, right? Sin is trying to keep us from God's supreme purpose for our lives. But we have a say-so. Now, we can't do it without God, and God won't do it without you. This progressive part, this experiential part. God gave you a choice. You going to live for Him? It's your choice. You want to find out what that supreme purpose is? You want to have that peace that passeth all understanding? Well, then there's some things that has to be done. It just doesn't happen. So I said, and then we're going to get into the text. Sanctification. When we get saved, we all get sanctified. Positionally. Because we're in Christ, and those in Christ have been set apart for a purpose. That is to serve God. Amen. Yes. Then there's this future, this ultimate, final, if you will, eventual sanctification. And that's attached to glorification. One day we are leaving this world. You hear me when I tell you now. We're leaving. We're pulling out of here now. We're leaving this world, brethren. Maybe through death, it may be through the rapture, but we are not going to stay here forever. We are going to leave this world. And when we do, if we are saved, we're going to receive our ultimate sanctification. And there's a purpose for it, because God wants to be presented with something for the work that His Son Jesus has done on the cross. And Jesus wants to present to God the Father a perfect bride without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, Paul said, without blemish. You hear me? No imperfections whatsoever. Right? God didn't find me that way. But when he saved me, he sanctified me to set me apart so I could become that way. And when I leave this world, I'm going to be that way. You are too. God, we can't be presented to God this way without spot or wrinkle, right? You following me? We got to get some things ironed out. And so that's coming. That has came. But there's a part of sanctification that's now, and I just don't think very many Christians, either they don't get it or they don't care. I don't know. And I don't mean you necessarily, but I mean as a whole. And so I want you to see what the Apostle Paul said. Now, I hope you've remembered, and I know we've been in 1 Thessalonians for a while, and really it's a testament to a couple of things. It's a testament to how deep God's Word is. I mean, it really is. But I think it's also a testament of what God is doing in your pastor's life. You see, when any teacher, any preacher that God is working on, it's just going to be hard to keep that away from the people that he is working with. It's just difficult. And so God's really been working with me and in me in these passages about rejoicing evermore, praying without ceasing, in everything give thanks, don't quench the spirit, don't despise prophesies, you know, just take in preaching. Prove all things. You know, run it through the scripture, right? Run it by the truth and see if it stands. Verse 21, hold fast that which is good. When you run it by the scriptures, if it sticks, if it stays, then latch on to it and don't let nothing tear you away from it. If it doesn't, then abstain, verse 22, from it, because it's evil. If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, if it's contrary to this, just abstain from it. Stay away from it. It's not right. It's not really very difficult. And then he gets down to this point. Paul said, you know, what I've been trying to say is this, church. You're doing a great job. Man, it's sounding out all around these churches in Achaia what God is doing out there in Thessalonica. You're on fire, you know. The Word of God is going forth enthusiastically, and people are being saved. You're the talk of the town. He said, you know, when you received the Word in chapter 2, you didn't receive it as the Word of a man. You received it as it is in truth, the Word of God. He said, I want to come see you. I want to see what God is doing there. And then he gets over into chapter number 3. If you'll look there just for a moment, he said, you know, he said, I just want to see you. In verse number 10, he said, I'm praying for you exceedingly that I might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. And he said in verse number 12, may the Lord increase, make you to increase and abound in love toward one another. You see all that? Why, Paul? He's leading up to something. He gives us just a little bit of a hint into it in verse number 13. Look at it. To the end. That's it. I want you to live up to what you are, but I want you to live up to what you're going to be in the end. So that when God presents you, in the end, when Jesus presents you to God, when you stand before God, you might be, and your hearts might be unblameable in holiness before God. You see that word holiness? It's the word, that's our word. Sanctification. A lot of folks don't think about holiness anymore. Don't hear that word a whole lot anymore, really. He said, I just want you to be sanctified. He said, I want you to be sanctified in the end. He said, but you know, in verse number 1 of chapter 4, he said, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus that as you have received of us, how you ought to walk to please God. He said, I want you to go through that sanctification process now. You need to be practicing what is right. You need to be practicing what you are. You're a Christian. Don't be just a Christian in name. You bear his name, bear his image. You call yourself a Christian, be a Christian. That's what the Bible says, brethren. He goes on to say in chapter 4, he said in verse number 3 of chapter 4, he said, "For this is the will of God, even what? Your sanctification." He said, God wants you to be sanctified now. That word sanctified, set apart. Don't forget it now. Set apart to be holy. To be set apart from something to something. To be sanctified. It's an action. It's an action word that God is in effect, that he's at work in our lives, doing something. Is God at work in your life? If you're saved, God needs to have free will to be working in your life, in my life, in our lives, brethren. Let him work. Let him work. God has a work to do through you, not just on you. God wants to do something through you, through me, through us. He goes on to say in verse number 4 that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in what? Say it with me, church. This is our word. So the Apostle Paul is winding down this thing, and he said, we're going to stand before God one day. That's why in chapter 4 he says it may be through the rapture. He said it may be when Jesus comes and he receives us up to himself. It may be that we pass on and others will sorrow. But you don't have to sorrow as others which have no hope, because we have a hope. We're going to stand before God one day. We have been sanctified, and we are going to ultimately be sanctified in the presence of God. Perfect one day. Perfect, brethren. Think of that. And so then he begins to lay down these things in chapter 5, and we have spent some time on these things. He said, if you'll just think about this, God has set you apart. God bought you with a price. And he set you apart. He's given you a helper. He's given you the indwelling of the Holy Spirit to help you along the way. He sanctified you when he justified you. You've been set apart. God has something for you to do. I was speaking with someone this week, and I said, you know what you need is purpose. Everyone needs purpose. Amen? Everyone needs purpose, brethren. Young folks, listen to me. You can chase every dream. You can chase everything that's out there that this world has to offer, or maybe that's in your imagination. But until you understand that there's a God in heaven who not only made you, and if you're saved, he saved you, and he has given you a purpose, until you connect with that purpose, you'll never have ultimate peace in your life. Nothing else will do. You'll just keep searching, and you might think, well, this is it, this is it. It's a new girlfriend. This is my purpose. We're meant to be. It's a new boyfriend. It's a new job. It's a new car. It's a new house. It's a new suit. It's this, it's that. But until you find the purpose that God placed you here for, you'll really never have any peace. And you'll never really be settled in your life. And so I want to encourage you now. This is for all of us, but young folks, please listen to your pastor. God has something special for you. Now, he does. And you will not be satisfied until you know what it is and begin to allow him to bring it to fruition in your life. And then you can say, my life has purpose. It just gives you a reason to get up and get going every day. It just does. You say, well, preacher, I feel that way already. Well, I mean, you're a teenager. You know what I mean? I will tell you this, though. Even at an early age, folks without purpose began to lose that edge. And then it just slowly begins to kill your joy, your vision. And if you're not careful, you'll be like the old adage that I have given so many times from this pulpit. You'll spend your life and energy crawling up the ladder only to reach the top and realize your ladder is leaning against the wrong building. Don't do that. You don't have to. Well, what am I going to do, Pastor? Well, let's look at it. Just look with me, if you would. I've just got a few comments I want to make, and then we'll lay a foundation for today, and we'll move on, and we'll come back to this. I'm in verse number 23. Are you there? Look at what it says here. And the very God of peace sanctify. There's our word. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. There's a lot of truth in those verses. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, would you use these few moments that are left? Help me to lay a good foundation that we could build some truth on your work of sanctification in our lives. Help us by giving us understanding. Help me to help the people with what you've given me, and then you give them something that we could build on. Give us understanding, give us knowledge, and then God, give us the will to obey. Help us to be willing to submit and yield our will to your will in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Sanctify. It's an activity. It's holy. It means to set apart. It means to be separated. It's something that when the Apostle Paul began to write this out to the church at Thessalonica, he said, you know what? You're doing great, and you're making some progress. He said, but I want you to know why this is happening. And he said, it's because you've been sanctified. Yes, you've been saved. Yes, you're the elect. If you go back to chapter 1, just for a moment, in verse number 4, he said, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God, God called you, God justified, God saved you. And with that salvation, with that election of God, with that salvation experience, with that justification came sanctification. And he said, I want to go through some things that happen when you get justified, the election of God. And he does. This is what that looks like. You do receive the word of God, right? You are excited. You do sound out the word of the Lord. You are in samples for Christ. You don't just bear his name, you bear his image. You do live in a way that your life has been changed. You have been called out of the old into the new. You have been given the new nature. You are a partaker of the divine nature. Your life will change. You will cease the path that you're on, and you're on a new path. You will begin to seek after, to desire what is right and what is pleasing to God. You will turn from things as you turn to others. You will turn from sin as you turn to the Savior. And these things happen when you get justified. But then there's this sanctification. And as I said, there's this element. And there's three of them. The first element of sanctification. Now, I have to understand, God owns me now. And sometimes I wonder if Christians really realize that anymore. One of the first things I was taught as a young Christian is, listen, you don't belong to yourself anymore. You don't do what you want to do. Now you do what God says do. And it's almost like we become afraid to let people know that. Brother, that's the best thing ever happened to me. When I was doing what I wanted to do, it wasn't working out. And so it's some of the greatest news I ever received. Hey, this God that bought you, he owns you now. Praise the Lord. And you're not your own. He bought you with the price. And he expects you to glorify him in your body and in your spirit because you're his. I need that. Thank you. Thank you for telling me the truth. Amen. Thank you for not sugarcoating it and saying, well, you know, and just making all these excuses for me. Hit me head on. Tell me the truth so I can get busy doing what God's called me to do. I'm going to struggle enough as it is. So don't water it down for me and make it harder. Tell me the truth. And so he says here, he said, in chapter 5, in verse number 23, he said, the very God of peace sanctify you, watch this now, wholly, completely. And he said, he goes on to talk about what that involves, and he said, your whole spirit and soul and body. God wants to do a work in your life, and he wants to work on every part of you. And I'm glad that God wants to do that, aren't you? And so, as I mentioned to you, there are these elements of sanctification. I mentioned the positional. It's a state and a standing before God when we get saved. I am in Christ. When you got saved, he placed you in the body. Praise God, you're saved, you're in Christ. Amen. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I think sometimes, as we heard this morning, we hear it over and over and over, and think, well, yeah, I'm a Christian. I'm in Christ now. Praise God, I'm in Christ. Amen. Jesus is my Savior. God is my Father. I get to talk to God, and he listens. Amen. God speaks to me. God tells me what to do, and God tells me how to do it. And so there's that positional, I'm in Christ. You see, God called me out. He called me out of darkness into light. He has sanctified me. You see, he set me apart. I no longer walk in darkness. I'm walking in the light. I'm no longer a child of Satan. I'm a child of God. Amen. My life is no longer headed for destruction. Rather, I'm headed for dominion. I'm going to heaven. And so God has done all of this in our lives. He's given us the Spirit of God, that as we are partaker of that divine nature, we can add some things to our lives that's going to help us in this journey. And we're to add some things to our faith, and God has given us the resources. And so this fixed place that we have in Christ, I hope you understand, that's a great standing. When God looks on me, God doesn't see a sinful person. You say, now, wait a minute. Yeah, he does. No, he used to. But God doesn't now. You say, wait a minute. God can't look on sin. When God sees me, he sees Jesus. You see, I got that settled. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. As a matter of fact, if you'll take your Bible and turn back to Isaiah 61, the Bible says that we are sanctified. And though we are sanctified, that doesn't mean we're perfect yet. But any Christian that would try to tell you, well, you know, I just gave up trying to be perfect. Oh, you don't understand sanctification. You ought to be trying your very best to sin less. You know, I should have said that, and that person in here should have said, amen, preacher. I tell you, it's a battle, isn't it? Now, it is. It's a battle. It's a fight. Sometimes we do better than others. But, brethren, the plain truth of the matter is God saved me to live right. God wants me to bear more than his name. God wants me to bear his image. He has given me his nature. Now I have two natures. My old Adamic that I got from Adam and the divine nature. And I understand the conflict. You understand the conflict. But it's fixed. God's not going to say, well, that new nature's not working out. It's not ruling out down there. I'm going to take my new nature from Dale Freeman. No! I have the divine nature, brethren, forever. You understand that. It's fixed. In Isaiah 61, I want you to notice the scripture in verse number 10. This is a scripture that I think is very helpful. So what happens when we get saved, Pastor? Well, when we get saved, now listen to me. When we get saved, we become a new creature. We become a new creation in Christ Jesus. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. Now, it's a process. It's not overnight. But what it's simply saying is through sanctification. Now, listen to me. Through sanctification, and we'll get to this more in detail later, but in sanctification, positionally, it's fixed. That's not going to change. Ultimately, it's fixed. That's not going to change. Presently, it fluctuates. Unfortunately, that does change. You understand that? Yeah.
Now, we ought to be getting closer and closer to God, but I don't know. I've heard preachers say this, and I don't know that I'm ready to make this statement stand on it. If you're farther away from God today than you was last week, you know, you're this and that. I don't know. I have seasons, personally. And sometimes I feel alone, and God's helping me, and I'm allowing Him to help me. And sometimes I just don't let God help me the way He desires to help me. I don't listen the way God wants me to listen to Him. And you can, I'm not expecting you to say amen, but you need to ask yourself some of the same questions. And so my sanctification, as far as practically, listen to me now, experientially, it just fluctuates, it changes. If it didn't, then I could work my way to sinless perfection in this life, but I'm not going to do that. But that doesn't mean, and here's the point, that God doesn't want me to keep striving for the excellency of the knowledge of God in Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want me in 2 Corinthians 7:1 having these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness, being sanctified in the will of God. God wants me to do that. And so here in Isaiah chapter number 61, look at verse number 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for He hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness. See, when God sees me, He doesn't see my pretty blue suit. He sees that robe I'm wearing. I hope you understand that. God doesn't see me the way you see me. You know the way you see me? I sure hope you see me this way, a sinner. That's the way I see you. And the moment we get mixed up here, we lose some things. All right? You're a sinner. Not because I said so. Because God said so. But more importantly, because you are so. But did you know when Paul was writing to the churches, he said, I'm writing to who? The saints. Because the Spirit of God was dictating to him. Now, I want you to notice what Isaiah said. He said, He hath covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decketh himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorneth herself with her jewels. He said, listen, God, He's given me the Holy Spirit on the inside to go to work cleaning up my inside. And He said, until I get all that, while I'm working through this process, He sanctified me in when He saved me. But until I get on this side of sanctification, God's put a robe on me. And when He looks down on me, He sees that robe of righteousness. I hope you understand that. You say, oh, I don't think God sees me that way. Well, I could do it, and I'm going to do it just a little bit before we bring this to a close. But I want you to turn to Romans just for a moment. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter 1. We could go to many books that the Apostle Paul authored. And we could see this is what Paul says. Now, I searched through the Bible, and I can find one man in all the Bible that's called a saint. Anybody know who that is? Dale. No, I'm just kidding. Not kidding. Who said it? Enoch? No. Aaron. But it was because, not because it was speaking of his character, it was because it was speaking of his office as the priest. No person. Now listen to me. Individually, it's called a saint. The Catholic Church made that up. When they mixed, when Constantine brought in Christianity through the vision that he had, and the world married the church. When I see you, I don't see you as a saint. We don't call people saints. We're sinners. But now when God sees us, look at what Paul wrote here. Look at it. In Romans chapter 1, verse number 7, he said, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. And when Paul was addressing these churches, he said, I'm writing to you saints. You know why? It's the way God sees us, brethren. God sees us that we've been set apart and we have been justified. We're going through this sanctification process.
ultimately we're going to be glorified. We're going to be what God called us to be. I hope you understand that. So we're in Christ. We've been called to be saints. We're sanctified. We're set apart for His service. Serve God with your life. If you're saved, you'll never be happy until you do. You'll be miserable. You know why? Because that's God's purpose for you, to serve Him. And if you're not serving God the way He called you, not the way I say serve Him or someone else tells you to serve Him, the purpose that God has for you, if you're not fulfilling God's purpose, you'll never be satisfied. You'll never be joyful. Never. Oh, you might have little bits and pieces of this and that, but you'll never have tranquility, lasting peace. And now when God looks on me, He doesn't see me in my old, terrible self that I am. You say, well, preacher, you're not that bad, preacher. Now listen, don't go lying now. You know I'm not all that. But you know something far more important than that. You know you're not all that. And so before we get to worrying about somebody else not being all that, which I think is a big problem in our church today, I don't mean just this church, but it can become one, is we need to understand I'm not all that. But I'm glad God doesn't look at me that way. Because God knows the ultimate purpose that He called me for. And He said, I'm going to help you become all that. And so He sees me as a saint. You say, well, you're not that. Well, you don't see that robe He's got on me. He's got a robe on you too. Can I tell you, you need to walk around with the robe on. He's put it on you. Just know it's, you don't have to put it on. Just wear it. He's give it to you. You can't take it off. It's fixed. I sure hope you understand this. You're never going to be without the robe. You're going to exchange it for one when you get to heaven. It's going to be a white one with clean linen. That's what Scripture says. Right? Yeah. So you're clothed. You're clothed. God doesn't see the way we see. God doesn't think the way we think. God's ways are not our ways. And so when we go back and we bring this to a close, you can search through those letters that Paul wrote. He just constantly calling these people saints. Did you know he called the people in Corinth saints? They had all kinds of problems going on there. But see, Paul was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and Paul was seeing as God was seeing. Now, he knew they had some problems, and he addressed them. But he said, I just want you to know, you're saints. You belong to God. You belong to God. Right? And so he said, He has something for you. As we're back in 1 Thessalonians, we're going to turn to one more scripture before I bring this to a close. You hold your place in 1 Thessalonians, and we'll go back to Ephesians 5, and then I'll be done for today, okay? So, sanctification. Number one, it's a past work. When you get justified, you're sanctified. All right? You're set apart. You'll never be happy. Now that you've been pardoned, you'll never be satisfied, fulfilled, until you're doing what God saved you to do. What God saved you to do. He saved me to preach His word. Now, there's other things that He saved me to do. He gave me a work to do. What did God give you to do? So, will God just kind of save me to hang out? Well, no, you're not happy. You're not fulfilled. You have a pseudo happiness and fulfillment that's not lasting. And so I want to help you as your pastor from the Word of God understand that God has a purpose for you, and if you will get busy doing what God called you to do, and it's not, please don't make it difficult. Please don't make this difficult. It's not difficult to know what God called you to do. God doesn't give you something to do then make you have to, like crawling over broken glass to find out what it is, brethren. That's not God. First Thessalonians 5, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. Why did Paul say that? Why did he say the very God of peace? He said God Himself is going to do it. The pastor can't sanctify you. Now please listen to me now. I can't sanctify you. Paul said, I can't sanctify you. Angels can't sanctify you. God himself can sanctify you. That's the only person that can and has sanctified you. God did it. Salvation is a work of God alone. Sanctification is something God himself has to get involved in for you to be sanctified. Now, you've got to let him. Just like you've got to let him save you, you've got to let him sanctify you. And he said, God will do it. And as he does, look what he called him. The God of what? Say it with me, church. Peace. You'll have peace like you've never known ever when you let God himself do the work that he's called you to do, work in it and through you. You will. Now, why would God want to do that? And this is where I said we was going to close. Ephesians 5, are you there? I alluded to it, and we'll close here. Ephesians 5, very familiar passage of Scripture. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify, there's our word, and cleanse it with washing of water by the word. Why? Why does God want to sanctify me? He has sanctified me. I'm sanctified ultimately one day, but right now, why does God want to sanctify me? So that Jesus can present it, verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy. There's our word again. It's the same word that's sanctify and without blemish. So God wants to sanctify us. He wants to set you apart. He has something for you to do. And instead of going to these help fairs and all these things, finding out what your strengths and weaknesses are and what should I do with my life and this and that, why don't you get on your knees? Why don't I get on my knees? Why don't we say, God, what do you want me to do? Show me what your will is for my life. God, lead me. I want to do your will. I want to fulfill your purpose for my life. You'll never, now, when I say never, I mean never, have true peace and joy without true purpose. Let's all stand. Now, I did not do a very good job